Matthew 11, chapter 21, text number 10. Ravyasya surya surisha Ravyena vachanena cha Samskarena sakalena Mahatpapatya tava. So this chapter is entitled Explanation of the Vedic Path. So many were reading about purity and impurity. So we're reading about sinful activities and we're reading about pious activities. Of course, this is all elaborately explained in the Vedic scriptures. More so it's explained elaborately in the section dealing with karma kanda, how by performing certain ritualistic activities one purifies himself, like that. But of course, we know that the karma kanda section of the Vedic literature is not the highest understanding of the Vedas. Krishna himself in the Bhagavad Gita is explaining to Arjuna different aspects of the Vedas, giving him a gradual explanation so that he can properly come to an understanding about how he should act. And basically that goes for all of us as well. We get given specific knowledge gradually to elevate our consciousness. So hearing about purity and impurity, the past few texts have been explaining different objects, different manners and matters in which places, time, bodies can become purified or how they become contaminated. And of course for us this is very meaningful because our entire process, the process of devotional service is how to become purified internally, which is the most important, and externally as well. Therefore we take guidance from the Vedic literatures and we follow certain prescriptions like rising early, keeping clean, etc. But the highest point of course that's explained in the Vedic literatures in the Upanishads, in the Srimad Bhagavatam, in the Bhagavad Gita, is the first point and the most important point about purification is mentioned in the Vedanta Sutra as Atato Brahma Jigyasa. So that first point of inquiring about who we are leads to our real purification. Because if we're not inquiring about the Absolute Truth, if we're not inquiring about who we are as part and parcel of Krishna, if we're not inquiring about how we have a relationship with Him, and if we're not inquiring about who the Supreme Control and the Supreme Proprietor is, then we cannot actually perform, then we can't actually purify our existence. So all our activities will be dealt with under the three modes of material nature. So in the Bhagavad Gita we can understand how Krishna starts explaining different activities one can perform under the modes of material nature. And this is as well explained in the entire Vedic scripture, because the Vedas deal mainly with the karma kanda section. And that falls under the mode of goodness, passion and ignorance, in which of course the devotee or the transcendentalist is striving to become free of those modes of material nature. So we have, you know, the Vedic literatures, the karma kanda section itself is given as a means and way to actually help us come to this point of Atato Brahma Jigyasa. So it's not that we just stay in the mode of goodness and cultivate knowledge. By doing that we can become proud and thinking that we have all the knowledge, therefore we are the best people in society, but we're actually supposed to transcend the mode of goodness and come to the mode of pure goodness, which happens under the process of devotional service. And in this purport, in the past few days, devotees have been speaking about how different places become purified. Keshava Prabhu in his class was reading a verse that was speaking about residing in a holy place, residing in a place where Lord Vishnu is worshipped, where there is Shalagram Shila, where you have Was it a deer? Or antelope? Where you have antelope. Mm-hmm. And we put everyone's heart at ease because we do not have antelope in Melbourne, Mahaprabhu, and deer. But nonetheless, we have the devotees of the Lord, those who are engaging in the process of devotional service themselves become worshipped as Krishna's parts and parcels. So we have the deity form of the Lord, we have the process, the nine processes of bhakti, of Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam, which are the essential items, hearing and chanting about Krishna. That alone, one of each of these nine items are enough to actually give us perfection in life. So we have the example of Ambarish Maharaj, which Prabhupada has given in Bhagavad Gita, explaining how Ambarish Maharaj was actually purifying his entire existence by taking part in all the nine processes of devotional service. So he was constantly hearing the pastimes of Krishna. He was, you know, tasting prasadam, he was chanting the names of the Lord, worshipping the devotees, embracing the devotees. He was fully surrendering to the Lord as well. And if we look at our entire system, of course, the program that Srila Prabhupada himself has given us, we can also get to understand that we have access to all these nine processes of devotional service. And by performing those processes, we become purified. Not only of the mode of passion and ignorance, we also become purified of the mode of goodness. But it's not, the highest goal in life is not to be in sattva-guna. That is, that's not perfection. That we have to rise above the platform of the mode of goodness. Surely the mode of goodness helps us cultivate better understanding of Krishna. It helps us elevate our consciousness and it stops us from acting in a sinful way. So if our entire environment externally is clean, if we're constantly hearing topics about Krishna, if we're reading literatures about Krishna, if we're rising early in the morning to come and see the deity form of the Lord, if we're honoring prasadam, we become regulated in our activities, and that regulation is a vital point in sustaining the mode of goodness. Because the most difficult thing, you know, we can rise to the mode of goodness, but how long can you sustain it? How long can you maintain the mode of goodness? So for us, conditioned souls, one day, you know, Guruji comes and we're in ecstasy and we're serving like anything and we're rising only for Mangal Aarti, and then he goes away. And then it's back to normal. And then we don't come for Mangal Aarti 5 days a week, and we're not doing our service properly. And then he's coming again, and then we're fired up. So we have this elasticity in our devotional service. We go from one extreme to the other, but we actually have to be equipoised. So Arjuna wasn't being asked, oh no, you just perform Kama Kanda for 3 parts of your life and then come back and think about it, and then you go and perform Jnana Yoga, and then you come back, or at the last point of your life perform Bhakti Yoga. And that's not what Krishna was advising Arjuna to do. Krishna advised Arjuna, giving him the entire process. Bhakti Yoga, he explained to him the process of Nishkam Karma Yoga, how to work, performing our duty without being attached to the results. He explained the Karma Kanda section, performing our duty, but when we have this attachment to our result, it's not really that pure. Because when we're attached to results, we're attached to, you know, what's in it for me, propensity. You perform devotional service, but you want something out of it. So it's still in its impure form. And if we're just performing karma, you know, we get highest credits, but still we have to come back and we have to relive the results of piety and come back again in the cycle of birth and death. So the Vedic path is explained in the Vedic literature, but it's not so elaborately stressed in the days that we're living now to make people understand that Krishna is the aim of the Vedas. Krishna is the end result of the Vedas. To understand Krishna is actually the highest point of studying the Vedic literature. Not to become an expert Brahmana, not to become an expert reciter of Srimad Bhagavatam. That is not the goal of the Vedas. The goal of the Vedas is to elevate us through the scripture, through the process, through the rules and regulations, to come to the point of inquiring about Krishna. And this is where the real purification starts happening. This is where we start becoming pure in habits, and this is where we start becoming pure in our thought process. So as you know, what we all struggle with every day, the uncontrolled mind, which is compared to a monkey. Not a small monkey, it's a big monkey. So the mind takes us here and there. So you think about one thought, and the next minute something else comes in, and you try and chant your japa, and then you have all the excuses in the world why you shouldn't chant Hare Krishna. So this is the mind. This is a materialistic mind. This is the mind that we get in Kali Yuga, unfortunately. Because we have such contamination, because we've been transgressing through the different species of life. And if we can understand just how long we've been in the rat race, we'll understand the gravity or the great importance of actually becoming pure. It's actually an emergency, because if you think about the lower species of life, if you think about the hogs, if you think about the bear, you know, now we have an intelligence and we can see just how low consciousness these species of life have, that we shouldn't strive to become like that. And we might think, you know, I'm not going to become a dog or a hog or whatever, but we should look at what we're cultivating. We should look at our sadhana, we should look at our chanting. Because one important point on chanting is, if you meditate on something long enough, Krishna will say, fine, I'll give you your material desire. Just as, you know, the result, the chanting that we're performing will be shown in that how we perform devotional service. So if you are highly inattentive, obviously, when you perform your service, you're going to be inattentive, because you're not focused on Krishna. But if you're striving very hard, if you're trying to be attentive, if you're trying to hear the holy name, you get realization Krishna guides you from within. Because Krishna is reciprocating with the sincerity in the heart. Like Marge was saying the other day, we cannot hide. We can hide from our parents, we can hide in a room and no one can see us. But you know, we have all the 10 directions, they can see. And even more than that, there's Krishna in the heart. He can see everything. And Krishna knows how impure we are. And Krishna knows how much we're trying to become purified by the process of bhakti. So when we're performing devotional service, we shouldn't be committing this offense of, oh, I'm a devotee, so Krishna will be merciful. Krishna says there's no loss or diminution on this path. A little advancement can save one from the greatest type of danger. Hare Krishna, I'm saved. You know, that's not the proper mentality. There's no way in the Bhagavad Gita where Krishna says, you know, you can think of me at the end of the day and just believe that I'm somewhere there and I'll take care of you. Just believe in me. Just believe in my words. Krishna says, you know, Krishna is saying, man mana bhava mad bhakto majajin mam namaskuru. Krishna wants to see you offering obeisances, worshipping Him, offering respect. Krishna, you know, He's stipulating what you must do to become purified, which is the highest point of the Absolute Truth. Not just performing ritualistic activities that are themselves given in the Vedic literature. They are bona fide, but they fall within the realm of the modes of material nature. So Krishna is trying to give us something higher to elevate our consciousness, to take us out of the modes of material nature. So by taking guidance of Him, by listening to the instructions of Bhakti Yoga, we take shelter of those instructions and each and every aspect of devotional service, whether it's deity worship, book distribution, prasadam distribution, that is purification. That is how we can purify our existence. because it's all centered around Krishna. And because of our false ego and our envious nature that's been explained in this purport, initially there will be some rebellious nature. Oh, why should I do this? Oh, why should I worship someone else? And why should I always have to take the ghee lamp around? And why should I always have to stand and offer petals to everyone else? You know, why should I perform all these activities? And this is to get us out of the center of thinking that we're the supreme enjoyer, thinking that we're the center of the universe, not knowing that Ishvaraha, you know, it's not Shakti or someone else, but Ishvaraha Krishna, Sachit Ananda Vigraha. Of course, we're also Sachit Ananda Vigraha. But the Ishvara in that verse, Brahma, is explaining the supreme Ishvara is Krishna. So when we actually perform devotional service, we're purifying ourselves by purifying this false ego of thinking that we're the center, we're the sole proprietors, we're the enjoyers of everything. By serving the devotees, that easily gets smashed. It easily gets grinded to the pulp, and by steady practice, this false ego, this false enjoyment, goes away. But if we're not sincerely taking to the instructions of Krishna about the rules and regulations, or the Goswamis and the instructions on Vairi Sadhana Bhakti, then we can't actually get rid of our false ego, of the mentality of thinking and the sense and the enjoyment. So we start, that's when we start contaminating our consciousness all over again. Because contamination, it's not like, you know, you're playing out in the mud, you get dirty. We're talking about internal contamination. And the biggest way we can contaminate ourselves is if we're thinking that we're Krishna. Or if we're thinking that enjoyment comes to me first, and then everyone else can enjoy, then that is the worst kind of contamination, because we're denying the existence of Krishna as the Supreme Person. But if you want to purify ourselves, just as, you know, water itself is pure or the wind is pure, but it carries on different, as it passes through different places, it carries on the aroma. But in itself, the air, the wind, it's pure by nature. So by nature, the eternal soul is pure. But because we get into contact with the mode of goodness, mode of passion, mode of ignorance, we become contaminated. And our natural existence and our natural consciousness, our natural ego, our pure ego is covered by these modes of material nature. And it takes a lot of effort to actually uncover that ego. So it's not just external purification that we're performing, achaman, you know, rising early, waking early. You know, even further than that, Krishna explains in Bhakti Yoga, internal purification. As Lord Chaitanya himself was cleaning the Gundicha temple over and over again, there was still dirt. They were cleaning and scrubbing the temple with his followers, with his disciples, and there's always some dirt in the temple. And in the purport, Srila Prabhupada is explaining, you know, we shouldn't just read and think, oh, Lord Chaitanya was having a maha cleanup, you know, Jagannath Puri was just cleaning. But for us, you know, that internal cleansing process, it has to be vigorous. We have to be intensely looking, what impurities do I have hovering in my heart? And am I willing to take it out? Because the longer it stays, the more it creates attachment. The more we are attached, we experience suffering. So seen in the Gundicha temple, our pastime that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is performing is a pastime for us to really take a look and see how we're striving for internal purity. And that sometimes we may think we're pure, you know. It's been 5-10 years. I'm not performing any external sinful activities. I'm not breaking the externally. I'm not going to the pub to drink. I'm not going to the hi-fi bar and doing what people do at the hi-fi bar. You know, we're not externally performing all these sinful activities, but internally we can be the biggest blasphemer we can be, you know, like Hiranyakashipu's little pet, following in the footsteps of the great Hiranyakashipu. So all these subtle aspects of ourselves, wanting power, wanting name, wanting fame, prestige, all these things in their subtle form are constituted in our mind. And each and every living entity in this material world suffers from that to varying degrees. And there's this funny pastime where Srila Prabhupada, there's one devotee who was saying he does not have he doesn't suffer, he's not suffering in this material world, and Prabhupada said, bring him, let's take him to the doctor. He's very sick. And there's something wrong with you. How can you know, you say you're not suffering, okay, you're not experiencing any, you know, distaste in matter, but there's something wrong with you. It cannot be. Because the material world, the material baggage is, you have a false ego. It's there. Everyone has it. You have a contaminated mind. You have some level of attachment to the body. You have a level of thinking that you're better than someone else. Thinking that you're more intelligent, you're more beautiful. You're the best dancer. You're the best kirtanier. It's all there. And this is all a contaminated heart. At the end of the day, we're not thinking, I'm this, I'm that. We're just thinking, I'm a servant of the servant of the servant of the gopis of Vrindavan. That is the health mentality of a devotee. That we're not taking any... the mercy that we're getting from the spiritual master and the acharyas, we understand how is it possible for an insignificant jiva like myself to perform all these activities without the mercy of my spiritual master. If we forget that aspect, again we're thinking we're the doer, we're the controller. If we're forgetting that we're at the complete mercy of the devotees, then that's a big problem. Then there's contamination all over again. So Srila Prabhupada, in his preface, in his teachings of Prahlad Maharaj, in the preface to Bhagavad Gita, he's giving all credit to the acharyas. Srila Krishna Das Kaviraj, he's giving all credit to the six Goswamis of Vrindavan, to the Lord himself. How can he write? You know, this is a purified attitude of serving the Lord, understanding I'm not doing anything, the Lord is blessing me to be able to help his parts and parcels go back to him. So this is a kind of purity that we as devotees should be striving for, not thinking that, you know, I'm going to perform this activity and I'm qualified now. Yes, fine, that is a fact, we get qualification. But internally we should have the mood of knowing it's by the blessings of the Vaishnavas, Guru and Gauranga. So it's very easy for persons like myself to become contaminated or polluted because we're still just coming out of that ocean of nescience. So if you just understand some of you are very fortunate because you didn't really grow up in super intense Kali Yuga cultures. So some of you have a very cultured upbringing. But for some of us, you know, if you were to understand some of the things you used to do. Now if I ask all of you here, who here used to sneak out at night to go to a pub or party? Oh my God. Okay, there's a few. Alright, who here sometimes used to steal a car for fun or steal a bit of money, you know, from their parents, lie a bit, do stuff like that, huh? Yes. Yeah, so we're all, I can say just a few of us have shown our previous qualities as Kali Yuga as servants. So those memories for me, they're still very fresh. It's just like yesterday. I know what I was dancing to, I know what I was saying, what I was thinking, and just the thought, you know, anything can trigger it. If we forget, If we become inattentive, we go right back to that situation. And that is not a great situation. Now that's just intense suffering. So we should stick very closely to the guidelines Krishna is giving in Bhagavad Gita and not just listen to the flowery language of the Vedas. You know, do this puja and that, and you'll go to heaven and longevity, and you'll have, you know, beautiful apsaras, and you'll have your airplanes that are decorated, and life's great, you'll drink soma ras, you know. The life of Lord Brahma, you cannot even ascertain how long it is. Just go with the flow. If we're just listening to that section of the Vedic literature, then, you know, we're not intelligent. Because that means, you know, enjoy, suffer. It will eventually come. Just as sometimes, you know, when you're young, you don't really think you're going to get old. You cannot understand that you're going to get wrinkled. For me, I still do not understand that everything is going to go down south, if you know what I mean. That everything is just going to sag. It's still a bit, eventually at some point. This is what we think of the mature world. We know, we can see it every day. The examples are there. Friends, family pass away, you know, they get into trouble because of attachment, they become greedy, they become illusioned, they become mad, they fall down into lower modes of operating. We see it every day right in front of us. It's a very dangerous world. That contamination is everywhere. Gross and subtle is everywhere. And if we want to keep ourselves strong internally so that we don't externally become impure in our activities, we have to perform, you know, the number one purification in this Kali Yuga, and that is the chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra with rapt attention. And we should chant it, of course, the important verse in Shikshasatam, Srinara Pishunechana, Kariva Sahishina, Amanina Mana Dina Kirtanya Sada Hare. That if we want to see how humble we are, how much of Hare Krishna can we chant? And sometimes I'll finish off. When I was in South Africa for, what's this fasting day? Nirjal Ekadashi. We'd all take a vow to chant at least 108 rounds, or 64. And in the middle of it, because there's no taste, because we're not really humble, we just can't chant. It becomes intense. Because the taste for the holy name is not there. We're not cultivating that taste. We're not humble in our attempt to serve the holy name. After 64 rounds, you know, you feel like you've won a marathon. It's just, you know, you start shaking, you want to look here and there, you want to eat something, take a walk, and then you want to check your email, but you just can't chant anymore because it's like you get fidgety. You know, when you're nervous, you don't know what to do, and you look here and there. But we should get rid of that, you know, these defects when we're chanting japa. Like there's jadya, you have laziness, inattentiveness, when you're chanting Hare Krishna, and then you find that the windows are a bit dirty. So I'll put my japa down and I'll just scrub the windows. I mean, it's devotional service after all. We have to live in a clean place, etc. But japa specifically means, you know, that's the most important time to be spent with the most important person. So chant your japa during japa time, because that's your meeting with Krishna. And if, you know, I'm not saying this because I've realized it or, you know, I'm chanting so attentively. I'm not. If I was, I wouldn't be so proud and not humble. But these are some things when we chant we have to work on and pray to the Lord that we gradually develop this taste. Because this will bring about the purity of the heart that we want. And this purity, of course, we see it in the great devotees. When we see the pastimes of Yudhisthira Maharaj, Lord Krishna's birth, how those six enemies of the mind have to be taken out of the heart in order for Balaram and Krishna to reside in our hearts. We have to get rid of lust, anger, envy, greed, pride. We have to get rid of it. And then we will come pure. And this is the highest point in the Vedic literature. This is the highest point of the Vedas, to understand Krishna. And it all begins with Atato Brahma Jigyasa. When we start making that inquiry. And from then onwards, we get guided by the Chaitanya Guru, who will give us a spiritual master and will take up the process of devotional service. So I'll stop there and I'll ask if there's any comments or questions. Yes, Mahatma Prabhu. By words. Basically, you're either Krishna Katha or Prajalpa. If you speak Prajalpa, you know it's garbage in, garbage out. Contamination. If you're speaking, you know, Vasudeva Katha Ruchi, if you're thinking about Vasudeva, about Krishna, then you become purified. This is how words affect contamination, and this is how words affect purity. So what we speak, what we say, and what we take in, because we'll repeat what we hear at the end of the day. Relative magnitude. Can you see this? I don't want to speculate. I can't comment on it.
One of the parallels says Mahatma indicates a great body of water.
Do not become contaminated by a small amount of water. So magnitude, if you just look at the word, in its English sense, magnitude just means how vast or how small, greater quantity. But in terms, because it says here, in terms of combination with other substances and in terms of speech, ritual, time, and magnitude, the purity and improvement of all objects can be ascertained. Something I have to think about for a while. I can't speak on it now. Any more comment or question?
I heard from somewhere that to become Krishna's, please, or Guru first.
No, everything that we're doing is based on the spiritual masters passing our service to the acharyas. Well, this is how Srila Prabhupada explained it when he was asked about one of the parents of his early disciples. He's claiming to be God, he's taking all these young boys and young girls, and Prabhupada told him, you know, I'm like a tax collector. I'm just coming on behalf of the king, I'm collecting the tax and I'm giving it back to the original person who is eligible to have this money, this Lakshmi. So Srila Prabhupada, the spiritual master, their role is merely to come and help us reconnect with the Supreme Lord. So by ourselves, you know, if you take any of the children and you ask them to do an entire thing, wake themselves up in the morning and, you know, dress themselves, take themselves to school, cook for them, etc., etc., they need some help. So eternally, our constitutional position is that we're servants of Krishna, and that cannot change. Whether we accept Krishna or not, it doesn't change. So the natural constitution of water is that it's liquid in its natural state, and that cannot change. Whether you want to believe it or not, whether you do some scientific thing or whatever, naturally water is liquid. So naturally, because we are also servants of Krishna, we cannot go to Krishna directly. just as in our material activities, you know, you don't just rock up at, if you, you know, you don't just rock up at the mayor's office directly and say, I'm here to see the mayor, or you don't just go to Barack Obama and say, I'm here to see Barack Obama. You know, you have to be qualified, you have to go through some people to have an appointment made. You don't just go to the dentist. There's always a secretary there who takes bookings. So in our spiritual life, in our life in general, Krishna has representatives that we have to take shelter of, because they themselves, they have a well-established relationship with Krishna in relation to us. So the spiritual master is guiding us on how to become attached to Krishna. And he is the one presenting us to Krishna. Same as the parampara, whatever we're doing, Srila Prabhupada is presenting it to the disciplic succession and eventually to Radha and Krishna. So that's why Srila Prabhupada always stressed, we're dependent on the mercy of the spiritual master. Yes, Prabhu?
Can I add my comment to this speculation about relative magnitude?
Yeah.
It's like we see in a vast ocean, when we drop something, that contaminated substance, it's relatively unimportant. Whereas we see now that we've got this oil spring in the Gulf of Mexico, it's becoming relatively greater contamination. So according to the size of something, it can become
less or more. Yeah. Yeah, but if it's heaps of tons and contaminated, it's okay. Okay, Grandpa Shrimad Bhagavatam ki. The Prabhupada ki. Jai Prabhupada ki.